All right, let's dive into it. We're tackling a legal battle today that really gets to the heart of how states can regulate professions, you know, what people do for a living and how that bumps up against economic freedoms.
Yeah, definitely a key area, especially for law students.
Absolutely. Foundational stuff. We're zeroing in on the 1955 district court ruling in Lee Optical v. Williamson before it went up to the Supreme Court. This case, it's like a masterclass in substantive due process, those limits on government power when it comes to regulating economic activity.
Could agree more. It's fascinating how this three-judge panel in Oklahoma really grappled with a state law that was on its face about the optical industry.
Right, on the surface, very specific.
But when you dig deeper, it's all about that tension. You know, the balance between a state wanting to protect public welfare and those individual rights to pursue a livelihood, earn a living.
So we have Lee Optical Company representing opticians, right? They're in the mix, along with an optician named Mr. Karp. And then, interestingly, an ophthalmologist, Dr. Rips. What exactly was in this Oklahoma law that got everyone so riled up, leading to this legal challenge?
Well, the law went after a few key things. First, it clamped down on who could fit or duplicate lenses for glasses. You had to be a licensed optometrist or ophthalmologist, no exceptions. So even if someone just needed a simple lens replacement, an optician couldn't do it, even duplicate an existing lens without a written prescription from one of those licensed professionals.
Wow, so even for something seemingly straightforward.
Exactly. And then it banned any advertising of eyeglass frames or mountings, like prices or sales, totally off limits.
Interesting.
And the third part, this one's a bit more nuanced. It stopped optometrists and ophthalmologists from setting up shop in retail stores. So no eye doctor offices within a department store, for example.
So right off the bat, you have to wonder, was Oklahoma really just trying to protect people's eyesight with all this? Or was there something else going on? Was this really about public health?
That's the million-dollar question the district court had to grapple with, right? The state, naturally, they said it was all about public health. Their argument was that only properly trained professionals should be involved in vision correction. But the other side, the plaintiffs, they cried foul. They argued this was just straight-up economic protectionism, giving certain parts of the optical industry a layup, stifling competition, and ultimately hurting consumers.
So this three-judge panel, they listened to all this and ultimately sided with Lee Optical and the challengers. Boom. All three provisions of that Oklahoma law struck down, deemed unconstitutional. Let's break it down, starting with those restrictions on opticians. Why did the court say opticians fitting and duplicating lenses was a no-go under this law?
They made a really important distinction, saying that fitting and duplicating lenses, it's mainly a mechanical skill. It's not something that needs the, you know, the deep professional judgment of an optometrist or an ophthalmologist.
So more technical than medical.
Right, exactly. And they said a competent optician could do this accurately, no need for a medical degree. And that's where it gets interesting, because the court saw this law as basically creating a monopoly. It gave optometrists and ophthalmologists exclusive control over something that, in their view, opticians were perfectly capable of handling.
So that raises questions about fairness in the market, potentially limiting choices for consumers.
Exactly. And it goes back to that broader principle we talked about. You know, state power should match the harm it's trying to prevent. Here, the court felt Oklahoma went too far. It was too much of a restriction on the optician's ability to earn a living, especially since, you know, lens duplication. It's not like brain surgery. It's a lower stakes procedure.
Right. It's not inherently risky. Now, I remember something about ready-to-wear glasses being part of the court's reasoning, too, right? Something about how those undermine the state's argument about public health.
Oh, yeah. That was a key point. So the Oklahoma law, super strict about fitting and duplicating prescription lenses, right? But get this. It allowed anyone to buy and wear non-prescription, ready-to-wear glasses, no professional involved at all. The court was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. They called it a fatal inconsistency.
Because if the state's top priority was truly protecting people's vision, why wouldn't they regulate ready-to-wear glasses too?
Precisely. The court was essentially saying, look, if you're so worried about bad glasses harming people, why allow the sale of these glasses that could potentially be all wrong for someone's eyes?
And they're totally unregulated.
Exactly. And yet you're cracking down on replacing a lens with a valid prescription.
Yeah.
The court saw this as a big clue that maybe public health wasn't the real motivation behind these restrictions on opticians. It seemed more like, you know, favoring certain businesses over others.
Interesting. Using that inconsistency to suggest the true intent might be different from the stated intent. Okay, what about the ban on advertising frames? How did the court analyze that?
Well, they looked at it through the lens of commercial speech, the right of businesses to advertise. And they said that advertising frames and mountings, it's not really directly related to eye health. Frames are basically, you know, a fashion item, a commercial product.
So it's more about aesthetics than medical necessity, in a sense.
Exactly. And the court felt that banning these ads was irrational. It prevented people from comparing prices, finding deals, making informed choices as consumers. They didn't see a real public health justification for stopping opticians from telling people about the frames they had for sale.
So essentially, the state was interfering with the free flow of information in the market.
Yeah, and potentially driving up prices for consumers.
Okay, now for that third part of the law. Optometrists and ophthalmologists couldn't rent space in retail stores. What was the court's thinking there?
Well, they struggled to find any health-related reason for that rule. They considered the example of Dr. Ripps, the ophthalmologist, having his practice inside a department store. And they didn't see any inherent danger to patients just because of the location. In fact, they pointed out that having an eye doctor in a retail setting could actually make eye care more accessible for some folks.
Yeah, more convenient, maybe less intimidating than a separate medical building.
Right. So to the court, this prohibition looked more like protecting established eye care practices from competition than about patient safety. It fit with their overall skepticism about the state's justifications.
So a pattern emerged, making them question the true motives. But I understand one of the judges had a different perspective, at least on the advertising ban, right?
Yeah, Judge Murrah had a partial dissent. He agreed that restricting opticians from fitting lenses went too far. But on the advertising ban, he disagreed. He worried that letting optical businesses advertise freely, even just frames, could open the door to fraud, to people being tricked into buying unsafe or low-quality products.
So he felt the state had a valid reason to step in and regulate there to prevent potential harm to consumers.
Right. He saw it as a legitimate use of state power to protect the public.
And what did the majority say to that?
They acknowledged the risk of fraud, sure, but they argued that the state could tackle that problem in a more targeted way. Instead of banning all frame advertising, they could pass laws specifically against false or misleading ads, you know, going after the bad actors directly.
So being more precise with their regulations, not using a sledgehammer when a scalpel would do.
Yeah, exactly. Less restrictive means to achieve the same goal of protecting consumers.
Fascinating how they weighed those competing interests. So to recap, the district court ultimately said no to all three parts of that Oklahoma law. But of course, this case went up to the Supreme Court and they reversed the decision. So why should law students still care about this district court ruling if it got overturned?
It's a really important case, especially for law students, because it gives us a snapshot of a time when courts seem to be looking much more closely at economic regulations. You know, they were using the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to really scrutinize these laws. Mm-hmm. The district court here, they didn't just take the legislature's word for it when they said it was about public health. They dug in, looked for a real and substantial relation between what the law actually did and the goal it claimed to achieve.
And that's different from how the Supreme Court handled it later.
Yeah, big time. When this went up to the Supreme Court as Williamson v. Lee Optical, they used that famous rational basis test, which is way more hands-off. Under rational basis, the law is good to go as long as there's some logical connection to a legitimate government interest. And the burden is on the person challenging the law to prove it's completely arbitrary and makes no sense at all.
So a much higher bar to strike down a law.
You got it. Basically, the Supreme Court was signaling a shift. They were saying, we're not going to second guess the legislature on economic stuff unless it's totally bonkers. They were advocating for judicial restraint, letting the elected lawmakers make the calls, even if those calls weren't the best in the court's view.
And the Williamson v. Lee optical decision, that really cemented rational basis as the go-to standard for pretty much all economic regulation cases.
Yep, a landmark case for sure.
So as a future legal eagle listening to this, what should you take away from this district court Lee optical ruling, even though the Supreme Court reversed it?
I'd say a few things. First, it shows how judicial review, the way courts look at laws, can change over time, especially when it comes to economic stuff. Before the Supreme Court stepped in, you could argue that courts were much more willing to scrutinize the reasons behind these kinds of laws, using that idea of substantive due process, that laws have to be fair and reasonable on their face, especially when they affect how people earn a living.
So a reminder that legal principles aren't static, they evolve.
Absolutely. The second takeaway. This case makes you think hard about legislative intent. Like, what was Oklahoma really trying to do with this law? Was it about protecting eye health or giving certain businesses a competitive edge? Figuring out the true purpose behind a law is crucial to understanding its legality.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
And finally, this case raises some big ongoing questions about how much power the government should have to regulate professions and economic activity in general. You know, how far can a state go in telling people what jobs they can do or how businesses have to operate? These are questions that are still debated today, and they have huge consequences for the balance between government power and individual economic freedom.
And I think it's fascinating how the district court really focused on those inconsistencies in the Oklahoma law. You know, allowing the sale of ready-to-wear glasses, but strictly regulating prescription lens replacements. That kind of analysis gives us a framework for looking critically at what lawmakers are telling us and maybe uncovering the real reasons behind their actions.
Oh, totally. Those inconsistencies can be a big red flag, suggesting that the stated purpose of a law might not be the whole story.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Lee Optical, here's a thought-provoking question for all you future lawyers out there. With rational basis review being so firmly in place for economic regulations, are there any situations where courts should take a harder look at state laws that regulate economic activity or professions? You know, are there times when they need to be more skeptical to protect individual liberties or prevent what might be unfair restrictions on the market? It's a debate that continues to this day, and it has serious implications for the relationship between government power and the freedom to do business and earn a living.
Lots to ponder for sure.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Until next time.
See you then.